Let us turn again to the prophecy of Jeremiah, to chapter 32 and at verse 40. Jeremiah 32 and at verse 40. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from them to do them good. But I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And we were trying to consider this verse on Sabbath evening. We did consider two points, two main points, but we did not get to consider the third point, which is what I would like to do this evening, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. These words, I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And the next two parts of the verse flow on from that. That was the way I chose to take the parts in order. And the first point, as I tried to take it on Sabbath, was to say, I will not turn away from them to do them good. That the Lord would keep on doing them good, them being his own people. And this is according to the covenant of grace, but the New Testament form, the New Testament dispensation of the covenant of grace, as against the Old Testament form of the covenant of grace. And the Old Testament form was very much in the way of types and shadows, shadows of the good things to come, pointing forward, types, pictures, as it were. In the Old Testament, I'm taking, for instance, the sacrifices as pictures of Christ's sacrifice. These Old Testament sacrifices could not take away sin. They took away sin in the outward aspects of things. But they didn't take away the guilt of sin from the heart. They did not bring about real forgiveness that would keep a sinner from going down to eternal destruction. Now you see, it was a preparatory age, was the New Testament age. Christ had not come, in whom all these pictures were to be fulfilled. All these types and shadows pointing out beforehand what was to happen in the fullness of time. And what Jeremiah here, as directed by the Lord himself, what Jeremiah here is pointing to is the better things of the New Testament. When you had not just outward forgiveness, the penalties of the law under the Old Testament, when these were taken away. But you see, there was real forgiveness. When a sinner believed in Christ, when a sinner looked to Christ as the one who died in the place of sinners, the one who offered up a real permanent sacrifice, which could really take away sin. Christ is the substitute for sinners, you see. And that effectively took away sin. What we have under the New Testament is not a series of pictures and types and shadows. It's the reality. And what we have is Christ exalted, a prince and a savior, as Peter was saying in his preaching. Christ exalted, a prince and a savior, to give repentance and forgiveness of sins. To give the grace of repentance in the souls of sinners through the work of the Holy Spirit. Are we seeking that? Because it's a wonderful blessing. May we desire to look into the Scriptures. May we desire to be searching the Scriptures, that we would get an understanding of these things. Now, there were these two things first of all. And the other one was this. The other part, the other point. I will not turn away from them to do them good. I will go on doing them good. That's, if we go back to verse 38, they shall be my people and I will be their God. And we can just take that generally just now without inquiring into it more than that. But you see, it's permanent blessedness. Now again, you have that in the part of the verse that I was intimating that I would try to speak on particularly. It's this, I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And these two things are specified. And if we were to search the Scriptures further, there's many a thing specified as permanent. Oh, what a blessing that is. A sinner coming to Christ by his drawing power. And the Lord is saying that I will not turn away from them, from doing them good. I'm paraphrasing a little, trying to bring out the meaning. I will not turn away from them. I will not leave them behind. I will go on doing them good. I will go on to all eternity doing them good. That's what you have. It's an everlasting covenant. The covenant, God made covenants for a period of time. As that was true of his covenant with Abraham and its implications for Isaac and Jacob and their seed, particularly the children of Israel brought into the promised land. Now, I'm not going to attempt just now to deal with what is involved for the Jews in New Testament times. Though you can go to Romans 10 and 11, chapters in that part of the epistle, and it clearly, I believe, indicates that the Lord has not cast away his people, the people that he chose, but he is saying in connection with for the future that he will bless them. He will bless them still. He will bring them back in. Yes, but what I'm trying to point to just now is this. The Lord's dealings with his people, Jew and Gentile. That's what you are. The Lord's dealings with his people, Jew and Gentile. That it involves this, an everlasting covenant. Now there was the breaking of the Old Testament covenant, which my covenant they broke. That's what the Lord is saying. They broke that covenant. If they would be obedient to the commandments in Old Testament times, Well, they would dwell in the land forever. But you see, they did not. Again and again, there was a breaking of the covenant. And therefore, they were conquered by enemies. In the context here, the Chaldeans came, Chaldea, with its main city, capital city in Babylon. Chaldea was the country, Babylon was the capital. The Jews would never have been sent away to Babylon if they had kept the covenant at Sinai. And in connection with these covenants, there was this, they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And yet, you see, they could break these covenants. And while they were keeping the covenant, in outward terms, the Lord was acting to them as their God. He was acting for them. He wasn't going to turn away from them to do them good. He wasn't going to turn away from doing them good. But you see, what we have is that the Lord is making a covenant to be them pattern to be followed out in the New Testament church. Yes. A spiritual covenant. There was a great deal of outwardness about religion in Old Testament times. But you see, this part of Jeremiah's prophecy is rich with allusions to the better covenant. There was that covenant in Old Testament times, which my covenant they break or broke, the Lord was saying. But there's a covenant which will be permanent, a covenant which cannot be broken, a covenant made with you, believer. Yes, a covenant from all eternity. That's the thing. A covenant made in the past, the infinite past of eternity, we might say. And there was Christ at the head of the covenant. And there was the Father at the head of the covenant. Though the Father was represented all the persons of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And it was a covenant made with Christ, with his own Son. And Christ, the Son of God, was representing all that would believe till the end of the world. Representing all that the Father gave to him in an eternity past. Representing, say, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Representing, say, that one would believe Rebecca and David, Jeremiah, Isaiah, any number of the godly of the Old Testament age and the New Testament age. Yes. The Lord is saying, I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them. You see the great blessing. The Lord is saying, he will not turn away from those who put their trust in him. He will not give them up, even if they sin. We're speaking about Peter's sin and Sabbath. We don't need to go over that further. But you see, the Lord saying even to Peter, I will not turn away from. He was given to me in the everlasting covenant. He was given to me from all eternity. And I will not turn away from him to do him good. I will go on doing him good. Yes. And I will give him that place that he will go out and preach the gospel. Yes. And many another blessing. I will not give him all of it to the consequences of his sins. What his sins deserve, I will not give him over to that. I will not turn away. It's a covenant, you see. And a divine covenant is unbreakable. That's the thing. The unbreakable nature of the divine covenant. That's it. I will not turn away. And, you see, we're not to stop there. We're not to stop with biblical figures. Helpful though that is to go over what the Bible is teaching as in the light of, say, Peter, or Paul for that matter of it. Paul was sinning. He was a remarkably godly man. He had the fear of God in his heart in a remarkable way. But you see, this was the great thing for Paul. This was the great thing if we look at Paul. What we will have to say is that the Lord was saying, I will make an everlasting covenant with him. But indeed, I have made an everlasting covenant with him. And I will not turn away from him to do him good. I will go on doing him good. And then, when death comes, what then? He would be brought to heaven, where he desired to go. He would be brought to heaven. He would be glad to go, but to abide in the flesh was more needful for the converts in the New Testament church. And he would go on. He was willing to go on as long as the Lord would leave. He was glad to labor on with such promises as this before. I will make an everlasting covenant. We can put it in another tense. I have made an everlasting covenant with. His job is Paul, as it were, packing his bags to go off on another journey. Perhaps it was a single bag. That, of course, is of no great consequence. But what I'm getting at is, trying to get at is this. Paul ready to depart. And perhaps he doesn't know very well where he's going. It may be clear to him where he will go first. But what order will they work out in the rest of his travels? But he has this. I will not turn away from him to do him good. He's got this, an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And that was David, you see. 2 Samuel 23. He's at the end of his days. He's getting old. His frame, his bodily frame is getting weak. His body had served him for many a day in all sorts of difficult circumstances, having to flee from one place of refuge to another. And what was going to happen to him the next day, he mightn't very well know. But you see, he had this. And when things were difficult, getting difficult through old age, he's looking back through all the ages of eternity, if we can put it like that. And he says, he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, and you believe it. Have a right to say that this evening. The Lord has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And this is all my salvation and all my desire. Perhaps you hesitate with some expression. But cast yourself on the Lord to be able to take a clear look into eternity. and the blessings that there are for poor, needy sinners, and poor, needy, saved sinners, because they're needy still. But you see, there's something that matches their need. Something that matches the need of the poor believer, struggling on in spite of sin. But you see, they're not alone. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's another piece from the everlasting covenant. Another piece from the everlasting covenant. But you see, we can put it in the terms of the verse before. I will not turn away from them. I will make an everlasting covenant with. We speak of the covenant, it being made from eternity, and that's right. But you see, you have it expressed somewhat differently in Isaiah 55, where it is said, "Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Are we being consistent in speaking of the covenant being everlasting, and in speaking of a covenant being made with an individual during time? Well, I take it that's what is meant in Isaiah 55 is bringing the individual sinner in the exercise of faith to lay hold on God's provision. Now that's the exercise of faith on the part of the sinner. And then there's the Lord. And what he is saying is, I will work through the Holy Spirit in the heart of the sinner, so that there will be an exercise of faith in that soul and laying hold of the everlasting covenant. Yes. And laying hold of the divine provision. And if we're thinking of Christ coming into the world to save sinners by the sacrifice of himself, you see, sinners are to lay hold of that. The work of Christ for sinners. Oh, lay hold of it. Listen, he is saying, incline your ear, come to me. What you have is a call to believe and another call to believe. Yes. Any number of calls to believe. And is it this? Rejecting them all. Is that how it is with yourself? That you are rejecting all these calls, and yet you've had another call this evening. Come unto me. Yes. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear. Hear with your soul. Do not be rejecting it. But hear with your soul. You see the warning in Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into that rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. A promise of entering in to heaven. Do we all have that promise? I fear not. But you see, if you will incline your ear, if you will listen, if you will come to Christ, if you will go to God through him, then you have the promise of eternal blessedness in heaven. Yes. And that's what's set before us in the Word. That's what we should be focusing on. That's what we should be praying over. The great promises of the gospel. The great promises that are laid out in Scripture within the compass of an everlasting covenant. See, all the promises of God, yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Or put it another way, all the promises of God are absolutely sure. They pour out from within the everlasting covenant. As God entering into a covenant with sinners. God entering into a covenant. He's saying, what I am setting before you in the gospel, what I am offering to you in the gospel, it's sure, it's within a covenant. Christ making a covenant with us. We cannot make a covenant with God. Yes. But he is the one that makes the covenant. He is the one that lays hold of the covenant. He is the one that makes a sinner willing to enter into that covenant. And why can you look back on the promises of God, the covenant promises of God? Why can you look forward to the fulfillment of the covenant promises of God? It's because he has made the covenant. He took the sinner. He worked in the heart of the sinner, like Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. She opened, the Lord opened her heart. The Lord made her willing. Willing to embrace the covenant. Willing to listen with all her attention, with all her heart. Yes, the Lord made her willing. The Lord opened her heart. And she looked to Christ. She received the things that Paul was speaking. And many of his words are left behind in script. And many a time they have been blessed. Any number of times. And what a blessing they will prove to the church of God on into the future. But you see, the thing is, are we neglecting all this? Yes. Are we neglecting? We are to fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. It's a promise on the basis of believing. When the sinner believes, all the promises are made over to him. Yes. All the promise. Go through the Bible, if you have time anyway, and make a note of all the promises you come across. They are all yours if you are believing in Christ. There's not an area of your life but that you have a promise for. It may be the same promise day after day after day. They're good promises. They're solid promises. They're definite promises. They're promises that last forever. Oh, it's a divine provision that he has made. Let us not let these things slip. Let us not neglect, but let us lay hold of these blessings, these promises, and let us look at them in the context of this verse. It's this, I will make an everlasting covenant with. It's not that it's a covenant that will be sure and steadfast until old age comes upon one. And then the covenant is broken on the part of the Lord. But that cannot be. And whatever else one would substitute for old age, let us remember that the covenant is sure. The work of Christ is sure. And therefore the covenant promises for the sake of Christ to the people of God, they are sure. Yes. And may the Lord's people here and everywhere else get a strong, firm sense of the sureness of the promises. And the sureness of the promises because the covenant is sure. The covenant is steadfast. And that's what the Lord is saying to us. All will be well. You see, we can look at these things in this world and see that people have no anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, entering into that which is within the veil, whither the forerunner has gone before his people. Now, people generally today, they don't have that anchor. They do not have a view of the everlasting covenant. They do not feel the authority, the graciousness, the certainty of the promises. And so there's so much of hopelessness, a feeling of hopelessness. And it is relatively easy in many cases for the evil one himself to tempt people to take away their own lives. Yes, it's a lack of hope, a lack of a sure promise, the lack of a covenant made by God himself. But let us seek that, that whatever will happen to us, when we have to face death, when we have to face particular trouble, that we might feel would sweep us away into some condition of despair. But you see, here is the covenant. And the terms of the covenant that I've been stressing this evening are, I will not turn away from them to do them good. Yes, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. May he bless his word to us.